Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. Phyllis Tickle, one of our great modern theologians, has called it the most difficult parable of all. Why? Jesus praises dishonest business practice. What? What's going on here? And to make matters worse, at least for us in the city, we have the conclusion, you cannot serve God and wealth. It feels like we're bashing our neighbours yet again. So how do we explain this parable? A parable where the manager starts by being incompetent. He is, after all, squandering property, and ends up by being dishonest, writing off a proportion of debt to curry favour. Well, to explain, we need to do what we have to do with everything in the Bible. We need to take things in context. The context, firstly, what is happening around the text? What's happening in that part of the Bible? And secondly, what is the economic or political reality of the day? So what's happening around the text? What's the context of the text today? The context is that Jesus is being incredibly inclusive. He is eating with tax collectors and sinners. And in first century Palestine, if you eat with someone, you implied equivalence with them. Now, one of the religious authorities were offended. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them, they said. And in response, Jesus tells three parables, which you've heard. A parable about a lost sheep, a parable about a lost coin, and a parable about a lost son. All of these are told in the context of inclusion. The conclusion we can draw is all should be included, none should be lost, all should be sought out. And secondly, the society of the time. What is the economic political reality that this parable is being spoken into? Well, what often happened at that time was that there were absentee landlords. Something's never changed, but absentee landlords, this rich man, as he's described, he's rich because he's got a manager and he's got property. He's probably a wealthy landowner, maybe living in the south, maybe around Jerusalem, where wealth tended to gather around the capital city. But he had this farmland around the poorer north area, around Galilee. It's a situation the Galilean hearers knew well, the sort of absentee landlord, wealthy from another part of the country. And the land was, in effect, farmed by serfs. Serfs who had to, well, the tenant farmers, but their practice was really like serfs, because they had to pay a high proportion of their produce in rent or in tax to the landowner. And that often meant that they grew cash crops, like olive oil, instead of food for their families. They needed to pay for the right to farm. And there would be an overseer, the manager, and he would make sure that this tax or this rent kept flowing into his master's coffers. And in turn, like the tax collectors of the time, he would take his own cut. That's how he was paid. He took a proportion of what went into the master's coffers. And then we hear that this manager, this middleman, this overseer, is squandering the master's property. He's squandering. Maybe he's not getting the money in quickly enough. Maybe he's not charging enough. In short, he's not making the pips squeak. And the master is angry. He calls in his manager and is going to fire him. And the expected response, if someone's about to be fired, is that they would redouble their efforts. They would get the extra money in, they'd win around the landowner by smartening up their business practice. But the actual response is quite different. The manager no longer looks towards the wealthy landowner. Instead, he's being reorientated and he's looking towards the serfs. He is now feeling solidarity with those poor tenant farmers, and he looks to them and he looks to be welcomed by them. The manager will be writing off his own cut. What he took for collecting that tax, that rent, and passing it on, he's writing off his own cut. He gets nothing for gathering the wheat and the oil. The serfs, the tenant farmers, are no longer to be exploited by him. They are going to be in the same situation. Tenant farmer and manager in there together. The manager has switched sides and now primarily serves those at the bottom of the social heap, not looking towards the master at the top. He creates, if you like, a more just system out of a corrupt, unsustainable one. The prophet Amos also highlights unsustainable corruption. We have this fiddling with weights and measures, and we have those that trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land. It's a greed that never ceases. They don't want rest. They want the Sabbath to be over. They want the new moon feast to be over so they can continue raising money. And that's the context of our Old Testament reading, our Hebrew Bible reading. Well, this manager is no longer in that position. His greed has ceased and he's stepping off the treadmill. His own stake, his own cut, if you like, is to be redistributed. And the conclusion of this is you cannot serve both God and wealth. Traditional versions of the Bible, you will remember, have you cannot serve both God and mammon. And mammon in many ways is a better translation, because mammon is almost like a personification of wealth. It gives an indication that wealth has become, if you like, idolatrous, something to be sought out just for its own sake. Be like saying today, well, the market is everything. The market is absolutely everything, even when it doesn't work. Even when the cost and the impact of climate change or plastic waste or the lack of competition is not priced into the goods, we still follow the market. You know, making, if you like, an idol of a business practice. It's a bit like saying also, growth is everything. Growth is everything, even if sometimes it feels more like a voracious leviathan consuming itself. We can feel in this sort of consumist society, like a bit like a hook on a fish on a hook being reeled into a system based on consumption. And it's time for us, if you like, to step off. This, if you like, is the context also of the meal that Jesus is sharing with tax collectors and sinners. Too often I go to meals and they're about networking. What can I get out of this meeting? How does this meeting benefit my church, my business, my school, whatever it is? We were looking, if you like, for benefit in a financial sense, in a connection sense from the meeting. Jesus, though, is reminding us just to sit down and eat with all. None should be lost. All should be sought out. In the meal that Jesus is talking about, all are equal. There is no special guest. And in a meal where all are equal and there is no special guest, who would you invite?